There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday, this Good Friday. And we've got the big week, Easter weekend ahead. And Dr. Bill's forecast is like, it's not perfect, but it's Easter. It could be, watch me, I'm going to knock on some wood in here. Could be worse. So we'll get more from Dr. Bill. I mean, some rain in the mix, it's fine. If you use the plastic Easter eggs, they're waterproof. They're fine. Just seal them together correctly, and they're fine. You know, if you do like me at my age now, I go put out the Easter eggs today, and then by Sunday, I won't even be able to help any of the children because I will have forgotten where they all are. So if you get out and do that, make sure you use the plastic Easter eggs, right? And then you'll hit them with the lawnmower later. It's a fun thing. I'll show you pictures later. All right, I mentioned as we were going into the news, joined by Scott Blair from 2U Tire, and has been a guest with us in the past, but he is here to talk some 2U Tire, but also Alabama Launchpad Program. Now, if you're an entrepreneur, you're a person with an idea, you got a business going on right now, or you're thinking about launching something, if you can get stopped and get some notes out or go back and listen to this podcast, this is a conversation for you. Scott, good to see you.
Sean, hey, I greatly appreciate you getting me come in again and see you. It's been a couple of years, so look forward to the few minutes here.
No, we're going to have more than a few minutes because there's a lot I want to talk about here. First of all, congratulations. You're a finalist in the Alabama Launchpad Program, part of the Economic Development Partnership of Alabama organization. So, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, tell all of us, what is that?
Yes, Sean. So, here's what we've got. Alabama has this organization, which you just mentioned, and it is funded with public and private money that... Essentially, each year, there's relatively maybe three, typically, sometimes possibly four, events where entrepreneurs, whether they're a startup, what we call concept stage,
okay,
or a seed stage company, which would be like us, where we've already, have an established business,
right,
but now we're ready to grow, scale, hire people, put more resources and assets on the ground, you know, in our case.
Right.
And so there's the seed stage. Well, this organization is funded for the sole purpose of growing small businesses in the state of Alabama to help them get to the level that they need to, whether they can turn into a multi-million dollar, billion dollar company, or even on a scale such as us, where we need to add more vans, more technicians to simply handle the demand, particularly because of what COVID did and dropped the whole world in our lap with everyone needing services at their door or on the job site, which is precisely what 2U Tire does. We bring the tire store to you.
Which is, I mean, and this has been, I want to come back to this because this launch pad's been around, you told me, since 2006.
2006 is when it started.
Hey, until you started talking to me about it, Scott, I got to tell you, we're in the business of small businesses with what we do here in this radio station. We are one and we serve them. I didn't know this was a thing. I'm embarrassed, but I didn't know it, you know, was out there.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, Sean. The reason why I reached out to you initially for us to have this conversation was that very point. I'm involved with three major business networking groups, and I meet with people. So every week, I'm meeting with each one of these groups,
okay,
with like-minded entrepreneurs such as ourselves. And when I announced that I was a finalist in each of these groups, almost, you know, three quarters to nearly every single person in each of those groups turned around and asked me, he said, "What is Launchpad?"
They probably
don't know anything about it.
That's great, Scott, but what is that?
Yeah, congratulations.
But what is it? No, but this is the point. So I don't feel so badly about this, but that people don't know about it. But it's a really big deal, as you've explained this, for folks that are, you know, I like the fact there's two levels. There's the people that just have a concept.
That's correct. That's and that could be software,
yeah,
where it's a development something, and they need to hire a developer or to prove that concept, you know, on that concept stage, just so people understand what does that mean.
Right. Yeah. So, so through this process, so let's say an Alabama Launchpad, if somebody today is listening to us, because I want to talk about it, I mean, there's the competition and all that, but today somebody hears it, go to a website, pick up a phone, are there resources? What do they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody write this down. It's really simple. AlabamaLaunchpad.com.
Okay.
That's it. Now, the Economic Development Partnership is EDPA.org.
Okay.
Launchpad is the program that they fund startups through. Does that make sense?
Right. So the parent, the
EDPA.org.
Yep. And then from that, it's Alabama Launchpad.
Correct. And they are distinctively different websites.
You talk about this. It's the state's most active early-stage seed fund investor. Now, so now we talk about, you know, mentoring in here, which I love. I want to get into the mentoring part of it because that's, you know, a big part of this. But you said seed, so there's funds. They are, I mean, there's ways for people to find funds for their idea.
Yeah. Whether or not they even engage in the Alabama Launchpad, that organization is there as a resource to anyone that makes a phone call, and they can help them in finding possible resources for whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish. That could be venture capitalists, that could be you know, angel investors, any number of things.
And these people are, this is happening in Alabama, because people, you'll say something
downtown
like angel
Birmingham.
Investor, Scott, and people are like, well, that's things that happen out in Silicon Valley or whatever.
Nope. Right here, Alabama. And there's at least four or five major organizations that you can actually find through those resources that will help you to get to know where some of these different things are at, and that you can then kind of go to the EDPA.org and learn things there, and then their resources will branch out in different places where you can then go and find more information about it.
You know, the mentoring part of this too. So I did the money first and come back to the mentoring part, because I've been lucky to have interviews with people over time that are – there's something about an entrepreneur or somebody who has done this at a high level when they – if they ever really retire. But when they retire – but when they retire from whatever the 80-hour-a-week job is,
yeah,
they've got this energy. And I've met with folks that maybe were senior to me by some decades, and their energy when talking about business – I left meetings with people when thinking about things for this radio station, and I had so many ideas and had direction. They just want to give information. There's people out there, that mentoring thing is so important.
Man, you hit it right on the head. And that's the biggest thing that I want to help everybody understand that's listening, is particularly as I'm going through this competition. Okay, this competition was revamped about a year and a half ago. It is intense. I mean, I've even questioned, should I have even stayed in it because of the amount of resources, the amount of my time that's been devoted to this program.
That's tough when you run your own business to devote time to anything. You're going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I've got three now since we last talked.
Wow.
Actually, well, four. We won't go that far. And Dana started her own. So collectively, we have five now. But No. So to talk about that here, what they have done with this program, and irregardless of how much time that it has taken from my other businesses, I have gained exponentially more knowledge and benefited from it. We have to meet with upwards of three advisors per week, and have been meeting with them since February. This is not like pat you on the back as you were talking about earlier, and you know, see you at the finale here.
Right.
It's two to three meetings a week with advisors who are mentoring us through all kinds of stuff, everything from HR, corporate culture, economics, our presentation skills. I mean,
those mentors, I mean, they just, Are you feeling the same, that they just, they have this, they want to give. They want to give this information to people.
Most of them aren't getting paid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Most times I've seen it. It's a volunteer thing that they've just got this in their soul, those men and women that know how to do it and want to tell us how to do it.
It's exactly right. And as you mentioned, anybody that's a true founder, they may be, you know, well advanced above us in age.
Right.
And still get up every morning and go for the grind.
Yeah, absolutely. Every one of them I've been with some that are 80 and pushing 90, and they have more energy than I do at 50. So that's for sure. I want to get into the specifics on this launch pad too, but if people didn't hear us talk in the past, you talked about the growth of all the other businesses. The one I'm so familiar with is 2U Tire. And so, and you talked about that, you know, during COVID, during, well, not that it's over, but during lockdowns, during all those things, it's certain business, I mean, so many businesses were really hurt during it. And other businesses really picked up.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, this idea of having, and so I guess explain, what's the elevator when somebody goes, hey, Scott, what do? What's 2U Tire?
All right, so 2U Tire is, we literally bring the tire store to you. So inside of our Mercedes Sprinter van, we can provide on-site mounting, balancing, flat repair, tire pressure sensor service, custom wheels, right there at your home, your office, even the playground, and at a time that's convenient for our clients.
Yeah, like we talked about getting tires before. So you go on, you find the tires you like, the tires that work, Scott gets them. And if you have a vehicle that sits at work for 10 or 12 hours, like a lot of us here while you're at work,
put it in the parking lot.
And come in and do it.
Sitting in the parking lot.
I mean, that changed. And so y'all were already growing, but COVID hits.
Dumped the whole world in our lap. Overwhelmed. Matter of fact, that's why I had to hire my wife from the school system with a good job.
And, to come in and...
Yeah, 5 months into COVID, and I'm at 15 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And taking roadside calls in the night, sometimes with 2 hours in between. And all we could do. And so, yeah, she saw the beginning of the end, and she's like, okay, we've got to do something different here. And so she came to work, and now we have an operations manager, Troy Stevens, 15-year veteran, worked with his family's business in Virginia. He moved here a year ago, interviewed with a lot of different people, but what we have to offer is that time and flexibility so he can be dad when he wants to be and have that flexible schedule, not only for our clients, but for our employees, which is just unheard of in our industry to be able to provide that.
But there's a scary point, though, where you grow so quickly and then you have to add, as a business owner, entrepreneur, infrastructure, hire new people.
I don't get paid much.
Right.
Let's just say, call it what it is.
But it's on the come. You know it. You know, you either don't know or you know, but you've got to make an investment there, not on the money that's coming through the door that day, but what is possible, right, going forward. I mean, what do those mentors tell you about things like that? Because that's how much do I grow? How much, what's too risky? What's playing it too safe?
Well, in regards to that, one of the best things is not only just the mentors from Alabama Launchpad, but I also want to bring up another one of my coaches that's involved with an organization that you may not be familiar with. And this will answer that very, very question that you just asked me. One of my great friends and business coaches is Yolanda Johnson. She's with the Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
All right. Another absolutely free resource to all business owners. This is a state-funded program. All right, now, they're not giving money out. This is not the SBA.
Okay.
This is an organization that's funded through University of Alabama with a local chapter here at South Alabama.
Okay.
And her and all of the team that are here are a direct, no-cost resource to any business owner that is either considering to get in business if they haven't started and they need their concept vetted. They will help them build a business plan. They'll help them with generating their pro forma financials and essentially walk them take their hand and walk them down the road to help them change from potentially being an employee to the business owner. And so I want to shout out to them because they're really fundamentally my always go-to person in any idea that I have, which has been many, as we've already talked about, right? And that is one of the biggest resources that I want to say outside of, you know, what Launchpad is doing as well. But this is a local, you can pick the telephone up, have a meeting, and they are literally right here in our community, ready and willing to help you.
Hey, can you hang out a second? We're going to go to the news and come right back.
Yes, sir.
All right. More with Scott Blair, 2U Tire, and Alabama Launchpad finalist.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Another entrepreneur, my buddy Trey, saw him last night. So Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you know the name of the company, but did you know it's local folks, Trey, and he's got his son working for him, all kind of folks from Mobile County and Baldwin County working for him, and he's been doing it 14 years. He's outpaced me by a year, because coming up May 1st, I think we'll be 13 here at the radio station. He's always a year ahead of me. You're always going to be older, Trey. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk in your house, you got junk around the house, you got a, I think one of the favorites, and this feeling of liberty, if you've got a storage unit, like we did for this radio station for a long time, and you got it paired back to things you don't need in there that you don't even know what they are, you get that storage unit opened up, removed, and you take that off the monthly balance sheet. It's refreshing. So listen, if you got to get junk out of the house, I've worked with them at the house, this radio station, our storage unit. Do what so many folks in Mobile and Baldwin County do. They got the junk, they call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and make an appointment. You can do that online or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. The phone number is the name, or the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They'll find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you. Then you all agree on an appointment in the good old-fashioned way. They show up and they walk around with you and you point the things you want gone. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work right then and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Check them out at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Speaking of businesses, Scott Blair, 2U Tire, our guest in studio, and talking, well, first of all, you're getting shout-outs from folks, your friends here that are listening, giving you a shout-out, like Brian, and then Roger's asking questions for tires. So give the website, because there's a bunch of people asking me tire questions. That's your job, Scott. My job is just to tell them about it, right?
I appreciate it. For all you guys out there, and I greatly appreciate it, if you would, log on to 2utireal.com. That's the number 2, letter U, tireal.com. You can see a lot of the things that we do, and then you can also reach out to us. You can give us a phone call. We have live people that answer the phone. It doesn't go automated unless just for some reason we're all overwhelmed, and then right. I'll get back to you as quick as I can.
All right, so in our last couple minutes here, so we've talked about this, the competition. We talked about how great this resource is, but this Alabama Launchpad competition, we're coming up on the finals, right?
Absolutely. So in 2 weeks, on April the 28th,
okay,
we will have the finals at the Innovation Portal in downtown Mobile.
I know where this is,
a newly renovated building downtown to collaborate and bring people in to keep that pot stirred with new, fresh ideas. And, you know, where can we go from there? So myself, I'm competing with two other people in the seed stage.
Okay.
I believe there's six people in the concept stage. We will be pitching to blind judges that have never met us earlier in the day, but starting at 5:30, it is open to the public. There'll be a time there for everybody just to kind of mingle and network. And then starting at 6 o'clock, I'll be on stage and giving my pitch in front of the live audience,
you
along
nervous?
With the other people.
You and nervous, then, Scott? You nervous about this? Because, I mean, there's some, how much money's up for the winner?
$50,000 in ours.
Woo!
And $25,000 in the concept stage.
Woo!
Yeah.
This is significant.
Yeah. And it's not loans. This is, we believe, here it is, make us proud.
90-second pitch.
Yeah. Now, we have a 15-minute pitch to the judges
right,
earlier in the day with a 30-minute question and answer that we have to defend what we've given them.
Okay.
So think of Shark Tank without them investing in the business.
Okay.
Right? They're just there to grill us, beat us down, make sure we have some sort of idea that we're doing what we say that we're going to do, and then what are we going to use the money for?
Right.
But the evening one is more of the gala. You know,
okay.
Most everything's been figured out by then. This is for us to showcase ourselves in front of the local community.
Okay, so it says, you know, open to the public starting at 5. We just show up? Do we have to get anything registered beforehand? Or
You know, there's... I'm not 100% sure, but I'm sure...
AlabamaLaunchpad.com, I know, has more...
That, or just tag on Innovation Portal here in Mobile, and they may show it's a private event, but they may have some more information on that. But, I mean, it's a fairly large facility.
And, yeah, so once again, y'all, I mean, if you want to be around a bunch of other entrepreneurs, people with ideas, and get to watch the grilling go on, you know, or the pitch.
Yeah, you get to and if they can't make it downtown, which I understand that, you know, it will be live streamed on Alabama Launchpad, so they can watch it from anywhere.
Okay, yeah, good deal. And I'm glad, number one, good luck, break a leg in this, and also, even people aren't in the competition or whatever, to know that these resources are there. There's a lot of people listening to you right now, Scott, that either they have something at a seed stage or they've got a concept. I mean, one day you had a concept, right? I mean,
yeah,
you weren't born. You weren't born running 2U tires.
No, I have a U.S. patent that I've got. You know, that I started. You know, took me 3.5 years to design that, and that was back in the '90s. You know, I've had that patent for 20 years.
Oh. Yep.
So, you know, there, and I didn't have anybody and resources, didn't know anything. The internet was barely even there
right.
in 1996. So, you know, imagine what we could have done having knowledge then with the resources today.
Y'all take advantage of those resources, those folks with ideas, and we'll keep that information up here. Obviously, you can go back and listen to this as a podcast, share it, or check out more resources online. Scott, good to see you.
Hey, Sean, I greatly appreciate it. And just real quick shout out, we just found out we are a finalist in NAPI Awards for Best New Business. So when you guys are voting for NAPI starting on May the 4th, please go in there and give us a click for 2U Tire.
Great. Very good. Yeah, all right. I'll be clicking away. All right, it's 1:30. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Good Friday. So thinking about this, too, with Easter weekend coming up here, and for, listen, living around here, it could be boating time almost all the time. I'd say February, not the best, maybe January, but boating season for a lot of folks gets started here, Easter going forward. Have you gotten the service work done on the boat to make sure you're ready to go when you back down the ramp at Billy Goat Hole or Cotton Bayou or wherever when you're ready to head out from the causeway? Do what I do. And take your boat and get the service work done at Blue Water Yacht Sales. This is a friend of mine, Forrest, at Blue Water Yacht Sales. He hadn't been doing it all these years because he and I are close to the same age, but his family has 50 years in our market with Blue Water Yacht Sales. Yamaha engines, oh, they're the spot. They got a 5-star Yamaha service tech, one of only 4 in the entire area. They got them full-time. Full line of services, warranty and repair work. They'll check warranty on anything needing work or parts. Not everybody does that. And they specialize in custom outfitting inside their product lines. But they also service all makes and models. So I've got some Yamaha. I've also got a Johnson. You know, they work on all the engines. And they also do a feature where they do a full... this is what I love. Okay, so you take your boat to them right now if you're going to get the service work done. You go to bluewateryachtsales.net or give them a call at 476-2699. Set that appointment up. You take the boat there. You drop it off. They're going to do the engines, all that. They're going to, I mean, everything from the actual physical engine to the pumps, you know, to water pump and everything else. But they do the whole boat. So outside the engines, are your bilge pumps working? Are your running lights working? Right? Are your switches working? Your electronic, all the things you need to be ready to go get on the water, whether it be, you know, to go just cruising around or go snapper fishing or go, you know, go bass fishing or go trout fishing, whatever. Going to Sand Island, going to Robinson Island, wherever. If you want to make sure, like, it's all good times when you load the family and all the stupid bags and extra sandwiches and the floaty raft and all that stuff and go, make sure the boat's running perfectly from bow to stern. And you do that with getting that full service work done at Blue Water Yacht Sales. Once again, 476-2699, bluewateryachtsales.net. Or if you just Google Blue Water Yacht Sales, you'll find them online. Set that appointment up. Get the service work done. And be sure you have the confidence when you go out with the family or the buddies or whatever to go fishing or riding or whatever that the boat is perfect for you. Once again, bluewateryachtsales.net. Give them a call, 476-2699. A bunch of texts here. So that is a, there's a couple groups out here. This is something I used to do this early in the, I'd say maybe second, third, fourth year of the show. I, used to have people on pretty regularly from a group called SCORE International. You also have, the Economic Development Partnership of Alabama that Scott was talking about. There are, if you're somebody out there, and I think I know from what the ratings people say, you know, those ratings diaries and all that stuff that review the number of people that listen to us. There's a whole bunch of entrepreneurs and small business folks that listen to us. If you're somebody with an idea, I get it. I've been there. There are resources for you out there, people that are ready to step in and help. I'm going to do more of these discussions, whether it be about the Launchpad program or SCORE or any of the other groups out there. If you're a group that does mentoring for entrepreneurs and small business, get with me. Get you on there and get your message to the folks who need to hear it. So we'll keep that up. You can always just, you can send a email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. Check that out. All right. if we have time, I guess we're going to have the things I'm like ran out of time for. I've got two things. Dalton, if you'll be on the ready, because I do want to hit that story before we go any too much further, but I do want to circle back to something I said in the first hour. And that is, go just do this over the weekend. If you have a second, Google Ukraine and lithium. Okay. Remember that Vladimir Putin says his war against Ukraine is about putting, you know, Russian-speaking people back together, putting the band back together. And there's some of that for sure. And some of that is you've got people that are way more ethnically Russian in eastern Ukraine than you do in western Ukraine, right? Language, culture, those kind of things. But still, it is its own country. On top of that, you have the natural gas reserves in the eastern part of Ukraine. That sure could threaten part of the money that Russia has. And now this story, it was a New York Times story, came out a week or so ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, that I've been reading through and talking about. The lithium reserves that are in eastern Ukraine in the Donbass. And remember, if you're, you know, if you want to control energy going forward, okay, you've got oil and natural gas on one hand, and then you have the edicts and the just the natural development of electric technology. Of course, to do that, batteries are a big component of batteries, lithium. So just put that into the news hopper over the weekend. In the story from the New York Times, it said, I'll just read you this, two paragraphs here. Ukraine's potential for lithium production had started to attract global attention. In November, European Lithium, an Australian firm, don't you love it? It's called European Lithium, but it's an Australian firm. I'd do the same thing. If I was operating in Australia, I'd have Sullivan Australia, but it'd be an American-owned firm. It said they were in the process of securing rights to two promising lithium deposits in the Donetsk region in eastern Ukraine and Kirovograd in the center of the country. The company said that at the time it aimed to become Europe's biggest lithium supplier. But then, the same month, November, y'all, you ready? Where do you think this next company comes from? China. The Chinese company Zhengjin Lithium also applied for rights to lithium deposits in Donetsk and Kirovograd, according to news reports. So the Chinese companies are moving in. Chinese already have, a pretty good supply of lithium as it is, but they're moving in to control more of it. And they were moving in eastern Ukraine. Do you wonder if there wasn't a deal here with the Chinese being kind of tacitly in support of what Putin was doing? That he'd say, okay, listen, we're going to help you out here, but our companies need to be able to buy these lithium deposits and be able to do that there, and not other companies from other parts of the world. It's pretty interesting. I think it's part of the bigger discussion. And Dalton, if you got a second, I mean, maybe I can do this story on my own. Maybe I have to have you back me up here. This story, I guess I saw it yesterday. Yeah, it was on the 14th, which, by the way, today is the 15th. It is not tax day because of Emancipation Day. Tax day is next week. Headline here from the New York Post. I wish we could just like pull like on the fly podcast from way back when the transgender discussions started ramping up big time. Remember me saying, I'm going to hold that. I think it's good. I'm going to hold it in my hip pocket. If I ever get sent, you know, going to be sent to men's prison, I will claim to be a woman so I can go to women's prison. Yeah. Right? That was a play that I had, I just holding that back.
You and millions of other men.
Right. I mean, because I saw the movies, maybe I did, on Cinemax as a kid. I saw what happened. So the headline here, New Jersey women's prison inmates pregnant.
What?
After sex with transgender prisoner. Now, I don't know how two women can have a baby. I know how it could be done, but I mean, there still has to be some component of a dude this thing.
I've been told it's impossible.
Well, two inmates serving time in New Jersey's only state prison for women became pregnant after they had sex with a transgender inmate, according to a report released on Wednesday. The unidentified jailbirds became pregnant, and the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility. Wouldn't you love it if it's your family member that was named for a prison? Edna Mahan Correctional Facility after engaging in consensual sexual relationships with another incarcerated person. Wait a second. It's a women's prison.
Mm-hmm.
Another incarcerated person has the ability to impregnate people.
Impregnate, yeah.
So it says in 2021, New Jersey enacted a policy to allow prisoners to be housed in accordance with their preferred gender identity. What I'm working off of. The policy was part of a settlement from a civil rights suit brought by a woman forced to live in a men's prison for 18 months. There are more than 800 prisoners, including 27 transgender women, at the Jersey Correctional Facility, which does not require trans women to undergo gender reassignment surgery in order to be housed there. In other words, it's like, what was the show? Bosom Buddies? But they were trying to get in a... Bosom Buddies trying to get a girl's dorm.
A dorm? Okay. What was it, a sorority? Something like that?
Something like that. And they were, you know, but in this case, it's like Bosom Buddies, but they go into prison.
You know, I know.
So how's this work? Help an old man like me understand this.
I know a lot of people, when they hear this, they immediately want to blame the quote-unquote transgender prisoners. But honestly, a very slick move on their part. Just like you said, you would hold that in your back pocket because, I mean, think of the benefits rather than being whatever.
And I'm arguing in court. Tell me I'm not a woman. I'm not a woman.
Yeah, and it's kind of underrated, maybe because New York. New York is right there. How insane New Jersey has acted through the entirety of it's like, and not even just with COVID, but Phil Murphy and the rest of New Jersey.
Right.
They did everything wrong with COVID.
Yes, they did.
And then since then, they've done like the exact wrong answer for it's. We could probably, you know, pull some stuff up and go line by line with what Jersey's done, but they've lost their mind these last 4 years. And then to have 27 of 800 inmates at this female prison,
I don't know why they don't
male.
Well, I don't know why they don't have all, like every male, because. It's going to get to be a point there's going to be male-on-male aggression inside the women's prisons because there are going to be so many of them. Yeah. Why would you? I mean, I'm just asking the question.
You're going to have skinheads.
Right.
In the female prison.
Yes, my name's Deborah of the skinhead Aryan front. Hi.
Right.
Oh, I'm so why would any male ward of the state, I mean, if you're convicted to prison time in New Jersey, why wouldn't you say that you're a woman? I mean, I'm kind of joking and being dead serious about this. Why wouldn't you just say that? Yeah, that's me.
Well, part of it is that, you know, some people, believe it or not, in this day and age can still feel embarrassment outside of...
Yeah, but if I'm going to stink in prison...
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to say...
Maybe they don't want to ruin the game for everyone. You know, if everyone... you know, if only one person in the class forgets their homework, you're probably all right. But if everyone forgets their homework, then they're going to have to start changing some rules. So if
what's the
tipping point?
Right, because you know how my brain works, because you have to live with me around here. How many have to claim to be women before New Jersey says, well, maybe this wasn't the best idea?
Maybe it's 50%. Maybe when half of the female prison are biological
male, yeah, transgender
and,
women.
And then, you know, you have the gang fights in the prisons, just like you see in
right,
male prisons.
Right, because if there's too many dudes in there, then what I'm trying to escape from is not going to happen. You'd think most of them would not be.
And you think back
this is
to,
very complicated for an old man like
you know,
me.
Movies like The Longest Yard, both versions, but even the newer version, they can't
the
make.
The Longest Yard.
You probably couldn't even make the new one anymore.
No.
Because they have, you know, maybe feminine guys that, mm-hmm. that are in the prison that serve as cheerleaders on the prison football team.
That's right.
But that doesn't even fit with the times anymore because they wouldn't even be in that jail.
Go read the story, y'all. You don't have to have any reassignment surgery. This is what I'm saying. This is on the sports. It's like I was talking to Robert about yesterday, Robert Kennedy Jr., is this idea that there's a certain line that there's not. I mean, somebody could identify as something else. And by the way, sex and gender gets mixed up. Sex is tackled. Gender's how you feel. Okay, sex is like your stuff. On a Tuesday, you're a dude. Wednesday, you identify as a woman, or vice versa. Women identify as a dude on that. So, I mean, and then the next day, you can be whatever you want. We're gonna have just one prison for everybody.
Well, and you also
the population. In there.
A lot in the new generation feel that they're animals, you know, even beyond the human species. They identify as cats and
that's
stuff.
That's true. So, you know, you don't want to do that because you go to the pound.
Right.
And nobody comes and gets you out.
Hmm.
If it's not a no-kill.
Then you're in some trouble there.
Right. So, I mean, if somebody come in and said, I identify as like a chihuahua. I'm going to say it's going to be bad for you because nobody. I'm going to put you in that cage in there and nobody's going to adopt you. So I'm
going to think again, yeah.
I'm going to stick with being a woman in prison. So there you go. So there's some of the things as we go into our weekend here. You didn't do any. I thought you would be able to explain this and help me understand this.
Oh, you
and
thought you, I had the answers.
I figured you had the answers. Now, you know, here I am more confused than before.
I just, I know that a lot of people think that all liberals probably feel like there's nothing wrong with that, but I'd really like to see a new good poll on you know, both, all political sides. How many Americans are okay with that, with what's happening in New Jersey?
Only the people that were sentenced in front of the magistrate. Those people are okay with it. The rest of them, not sure about that. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Dalton Warwick. Crowd goes wild.
Go hide some Easter eggs.
Yes. Go. I hid some from myself earlier today. It'll be good. It'll be hard for me to find them. Coming up, Amanda Summerlin, Taylor Martino, Rowan joins me right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino Rowan back in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean.
This is a subject we had talked about in the past, and that is Zantac. This is a name that people know because so many people took this drug Zantac, right? From, what, 1980s?
Yes, Sean. Zantac has been around since the mid-80s, and it's been around in different forms, in the generics and also in the brand names.
Now, so Zantac that people have taken, that was taken off the market, when was that?
So the FDA, they issued a warning in September of 19 and actually pulled it from the market a few months later.
Why'd they do that?
Well, through this research, we have found that there are certain levels of NDMA, which is a carcinogen, in this drug that is can cause cancer.
So people that have taken this over time, and people that have cancer now, that's who you're talking to?
That's right. And with these drug cases, you know, we see what we call latency. So, you know, you may take something for a number of years and then not find out until later that it could be harmful.
All right. So this could be, this could be something that somebody wasn't even taking in 2019, and they still could be linked to this case.
That's right, Sean. These are, we're looking now at the prescription and the brand name Zantac. So, and it has been pulled from the market. So perhaps if they took it in, you know, 2010 or 2015 and they've developed cancer now, they should give us a call.
Okay. And what kind of, as you've done your research and y'all are working on this, what kind of cancers have you seen associated with the people that carcinogen that was in Zantac?
So that's what we've been doing the last couple of years, is working with our experts and researching and looking at these different cancers. And there are, as you know, a number of cancers that we deal with. But right now we are looking at five main cancers that we believe are associated with the Zantac.
Okay. And this one of them, I was looking, esophageal. I mean, heck, that's kind of the reason people were taking Zantac, right? I mean,
it is.
The irony of that.
Right. And that's, you know, there are a lot of users of Zantac because, you know, it was treat heartburn and indigestion, mm-hmm. and these everyday stomach issues. But when you think about Zantac and the five cancers, and you can sort of imagine it as it passes through the body. So we're looking at, as you said, esophageal, stomach, bladder, liver, and then pancreatic. So, you know, if someone took Zantac and they developed one of these five cancers, it's definitely something we should look at.
Okay. Now, here's the other part of this question, the tough part. Somebody says, you know, they know they took Zantac. How do I prove that I took Zantac?
Well, and that's, you know, up to us as attorneys to do. But what we've been working through is, you know, we can get prescription records.
Okay.
We can get doctor records. We can also get diagnosing records from the cancer. And sometimes doctors have made notes in those records indicating that the cancer could be related to Zantac. So I understand people are not, you know, walking around with receipts, and that's okay.
But if they were prescribed this, Amanda, if they had been prescribed, they remember, Dr. Smith, whatever, prescribed this, that's where they could go get these records.
Right.
And on the prescription side.
Exactly. And actually, our office can assist with getting the records, you know. And the other thing is, maybe they took Zantac brand name over the counter.
Okay.
So we can get in touch with retailers, and maybe there's a loyalty card or also a record of, right, of a purchase somewhere.
So this is, once again, the combination here. Just joining us, talking to Amanda Summerlin from Taylor Martino Rowan, and talking about people that had taken Zantac and now have shown with these cancers. Once again, you said bladder, stomach, esophageal, liver, and pancreatic, right?
That's right.
So if those two things are in your world, you remember
you're taking Zantac, whether it be prescription or over the counter.
That's right. But brand name Zantac.
And then one of these cancers, or like a lot of times we talk about, maybe somebody listening to us today is not them, but it is a family member that shows this.
Yes. And we have seen that over the past couple of years, you know, where, you know, it is a spouse or a child or a parent. So we've seen people that have, you know, taken this medication for a number of years daily.
All right. And this was, so y'all know, this was pulled off the shelves. It's off the shelves now, but this is something that so many, many Americans took, and these people are living with cancer now, and it may be because of that Zantac.
Right. And it's just also, I know I mentioned the carcinogen, but there are also issues with, you know, this drug was stored at higher than room temperature. You know, there's a lot here in the documents and in the corporate discovery that we've been working on. So we have been researching and looking at these cases.
All right. So y'all have been doing the work. Now, if this is you or this is somebody that a loved one or a friend, they want to get in touch with you, because like you said, y'all been doing the research. You're ready to kind of give people advice on this. What do? They call for you, or they just contact Taylor Martino Rowan and just say, I took Zantac? How does it work? What does somebody say on the phone?
Sure. They can give a call and say that, you know, they took Zantac, and, you know, I'll speak with them, or someone in my office will speak with them. And we have some cases on file. We are looking to have some trials set sometime next year.
Okay. So it's coming that quickly?
Yes.
All right. So y'all hear that message is coming quickly. Make sure to get in touch with Taylor Martino Rowan. Amanda, it's always good to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.